Next item is item number...
23.
These notes, huh?
Wait a minute, that was 21.
Yeah, 23, 22. 22 was on consent.
22 is on consent. 23, leasehold agreements, Mr. Spence?
Yeah, I guess my question is, you know, we had a discussion about childcare and our nonprofits and what they pay for the rental fee. And I guess the question is, if the $1 a year covers our administrative costs? Or, I mean, or is there an administrative cost just for processing the lease that, you know, should be more? Or, I thought we were going to look, or I thought before there was discussion about what we were charging those, and I don't see that reflected in here. Am I wrong on the previous discussions?
We were going to relook at each lease. We had that discussion a while ago. I can't remember the date.
Yeah, but it was a while ago, and this is just a continuation of it, the previous leases. And so I guess that's my kind of question about, yeah, if we're going to do that or not, or how that was going to work.
Do these leases, all of these leases expire June 30th of 2011?
Yes. Previously, we were two years behind. This past fiscal year, we've approved the last prior 2 years. So historically, we have been running without a lease in place.
Really?
Yeah, now they're all paying their utilities and everything?
Some of them pay their utilities. It's based on the contract, and some of them don't.
Right, and so, I mean, I thought that was one of the issues that we had, if I remember right.
And part of it would be coming up with a formula on how you would determine it, because you have a single meter. You know, where there's a meter to their building, they're paying for it. Some of them are combined, and they don't pay it separately.
Get them to put in a separate meter.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I would just assume these items go forward tonight. I understand what Mr. Spence is saying, but, you know, quite honestly, having childcare on our facilities is a very positive thing to our parents in the community, so that they don't have to worry about their children getting from site to site. These are all nonprofit organizations that are running the childcare operations. And quite honestly, I'm satisfied with doing what we can to help out, and a dollar a year is fine.
But do we charge some of them utilities and some of them we don't?
In the contracts, yeah, some of them are included in the space, and some of them pay their own. I want to say Parent Place is a separate one, if I recall correctly.
Well, that's not childcare lease.
No, that's not. That's just their use of facilities.
Is the City of West Covina, do they have their nonprofit to run their childcare?
Well, they're...
Well, I think they're losing profit. I think they're not making money.
Yeah.
We were talking about paying for SRO earlier, so I don't think they're...
I can check, but I believe the city, since they brought in their own portables...
They brought in their own portables.
They probably brought in their own utilities or aren't paying for them, but I can double-check those.
Well, I just think that's something we should look at next time. I mean, we should be consistent on how we deal with the childcare sites, however we do that.
And with the last item, YMCA, that's the one where they're actually using our portables. Most of the other ones are using their own building. Is that something you want to look into as well?
Well, they have three of them, right? They brought in three, right? Because it says land use only on the first three, but then Merced is the one where they use our relocatable. Is that right?
Right, Merced.
Well, I just think, you know, I think we have to figure out if we're being consistent with, on all the childcares, on if we're charging for utilities or not. We have to be consistent on all that.
Okay, we can check on that.
Or whatever, you know, before we were going to do big reviews of it, but it doesn't sound like we're going to, so, but we should be consistent.
Edgewood, at one time, was the YASIS or the YMCA was utilizing part of a wing. Are they no longer having that program at Edgewood anymore? And they were actually paying rent. Right.
That's Prop 49, right?
So the grants aren't on here. I mean, because they were paying rent from their grant, I thought, at Edgewood.
I thought that was our contribution to the Prop 49 match.
It was an in-kind matching grant, and so among the things that were in-kind,
our rent.
There was a formula established for that.
What it was worth then. So that's where I saw the number. Because there was actually
A number, too.
A number associated a dollar amount associated with the classrooms they were using.
Yeah, well, Prop 49, you had to, we had to match.
We had to do matching then.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we?
I'll move this item through 2012.
Moved by Mike Spence, seconded by Justice Shoemaker, to approve the renewal leases presented through June of 2012. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Can we get a, we'll just take a 5-minute break, is that right? So at about 9:15.
Sure. I'm always optimistic.
Oh, Audrey.
What time do we go? 9 o'clock?
Huh?
9 a.m. tomorrow.
Amy, I wanted to ask you, because I didn't know if it was appropriate. Steve had asked me about voting. But I'm wondering, do you feel comfortable if we're going to vote in here? So, Rich, can you remove that? Well, some people, you feel uncomfortable in the public setting that people might say, oh,
As many prayers as I can get.
Okay, yeah. Well,
I'm for.
Well, I thought I'd ask because I know some people are sensitive to that.
Yeah. So what?
Yes.
Because by 2011, she's talking about this year's data. Last year they were at.
Well, then what's this goal was met in 2010?
Well, I think this is wrong.
Yeah.
That's her expectation for this year.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well,
so
that's wrong though.
This all.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, because that's wrong. Because the goal wasn't met.
What was that?
Who had 10?
He laughed at me. Ellie, you have 10, so I think it's going to be more likely. 9:30 is Mike, but I think he's in trouble. We could have done the 8:30 if we'd done it. What do we go at 9 o'clock? What time do we go at 9? 9 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Yes, 9. It's 9.
9 o'clock? I never even heard of the Coalition for whatever. What's that? Still got the budget. He's got 10:30. I keep shooting the wrong way. I keep landing before the runway. Even begins landing on houses and things.
Yes.
he's talking about.
He said, I read an email, that's what I was saying.
Sure. I love this. I like it. Just,
I don't mind.
Just. I've seen so many really bad board meetings.
Oh, okay. I mean, this isn't bad. It's just exhausting.
No, I used to have, when I was in Santa Barbara, we had a board member. And whenever the vote went against what he wanted, he would punish you by talking for the next hour.
Oh.
What an idiot you were for voting that way.
Oh.
He was awful. He was just awful. Just intimidated people.
Where is everybody? Let's go. We could be done. We could be out of here. Is this going to be long?
It should be just a budget. The one before.
We've already been do this. Well, about that. I think we've already beat the categorical discussion to death. Would you get? Would you pick?
13 minutes.
Ain't gonna happen. Sorry about that. But I don't know if I can corral the cats in 13 minutes. So I don't know what the heck's going on, but. Are you ready, Jessica? Okay. All right, Cammie, are you ready? No. I got two others. I don't have no idea. I didn't really mean to rush you. I just.
No,
I just
look
wanted.
At, I don't know. Here I can just chat away.
I just.
Content, huh?
No.
But I also want to get home.
Is Mike out and about there or somewhere?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
Denise, is Mike out there?
Public record. But I'll also make public record that I have cameras all over my house. Try it.
Yeah, we're not on, are we? We are? Why? We didn't turn it back in order yet. Yeah, I guess you're back in order. Are you set, Monica? Okay. All right. Item number 24 is the Tier 3 funding review and approval. Have we discussed thoroughly the categorical programs, or is there other comments on Tier 3 funding? Comments? Mr. Spence?
Well, my only comment is, you know, I'll vote for it tonight, but I'd like to see us reduce the amount we take out of categoricals for administrative staff so that more money goes to school sites. But I don't think now we'll be able to adjust that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cammy, anything?
No comment. I'll move it.
Okay, maybe.
I'll second.
Thank you. The move by Cammy Polis, seconded by Jessica Shoemaker, to approve the flexibility provisions allowed by the budget and trailer bill SBX 3-4, Chapter 12, Statutes 1, 2, and 9, Tier 3 funding review and approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approved or no, opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Item number 25 is the adoption of the 2011-2012 budget and criteria and standards. Dr. Garcia? We have a presentation.
Tonight, just a brief presentation on the budget. I know you've reviewed the budget in detail. Basically, our budget assumptions are that our ADA is going to be flat from our current year. Staffing will be very similar to our current levels. There's been a reduction in eighth period staffing. Where the stimulus money kicking us forward into 11-12. No reduction in state funding. However, they also don't know how they're going to fund it. So we actually do have an effective reduction of about $3 million in revenue because of that ADA doubt in funding. And our economic reserve for uncertainty remains at that 3%. Quick review. Multi-year plan, when we're going out into 12, 13, 13, 14, we did, the board approved a $5 million savings in those two out years, $2 million in 12, 13, another $3 million in 13, 14. We put it into services and other as a placeholder because all those need to be negotiated, and we'd like to continue to utilize the stakeholder committee to get input on where we could possibly find savings with the least impact to the classroom. So we want to start out with a general fund budget. This is combined restricted, non-restricted. The first year is where we estimate we're going to finish this year 10-11. We have a revenue about $78 million, expenses just over $77 million, which is giving us some money going into the net fund balance and ending at $22.5 million. That's our starting point for next year's budget. And at the bottom, now we're starting to break out those fund balances based on the GASB 54. And so basically $20.1 million over $22.5 is assigned for different fundings in the future, with the economic reserve of the $2.3 million. When you go to our budget in 11-12, you see this drastic reduction in our revenue down to $64 million. Again, that's the loss of economic stimulus money, the $3 million in ADA, and some other adjustments that were made in the current year. But our expenses are staying about flat. And with that, that gives us a negative contribution to our fund balance of $9 million. And reduces our net fund balance to $13.2 million. And what you see is the, again, in the fund balance at the bottom, we keep the economic reserve, and any difference is going to the assigned. So as that continues out for 12, 13, 13, 14, even with the reduction in expenses, we're still having deficit spending, but at a lower rate, so that at the end of 13, 14, we actually end up with a net fund balance of $3.1 million. And the reason that's higher than the 2.2, which we addressed the board last meeting, what we're, our target was to get to the economic reserve, is $900,000 coming from the eighth period savings for three consecutive years. So you have about $300,000 in savings in 11, 12, 12, 13, 13, 14. That's just rolling forward because that decision was made at the last moment. So those dollars would be there. And again, it shows on the fund balance at the bottom. We have the 2.2 plus the 900,000 in the other assigned. Now, one thing during this fiscal year, we started dissecting the budget, and there was greater interest in how, where are the spending coming from, the deficit spending, and requests to break this down between unrestricted and restricted so you can start dissecting that and doing more analysis. So the next two slides are the same format, but this is for the unrestricted general fund only. And you see the net fund balance is the exact same amount. What's reduced here is the revenue and expenses, which are for the restricted funds. Now, what happens, actually, and you see restricted, is in the current year, in any year that the restricted overspends the deficit spending, is where the unrestricted dollars shift over. So the net fund balance is always going to be zero in the restricted fund, but that doesn't mean that they're carrying their own weight. And so this was a better example, I think, of showing you where expenditures are between unrestricted and restricted. Now, I just took 11, 12 because that's our most current year, most likely to be very close to these numbers. So when you look at the revenue for both of them, then you look at the expenditures. The contribution to the fund balance in our unrestricted is almost, we're almost breaking even. We're $1 million short. But in the restricted, we're $8.1 million short. And that's the next line, the other financial sources. Money shifted from unrestricted to restricted to bring them back to zero. So if we are to focus in on where we're actually deficit spending, it's in the restricted side, and there's many good reasons for that. So in special education, you really can't control that cost. We know that's going to occur. We have, you know, an overspend in transportation and special education, you know, and that's probably into your $5-6 million range. We have a couple $1 million more there that really we probably can look at and see what we can do. And also with the school services report where they made some recommendations where we could try to look at special education and maybe come up with some synergies and save some dollars and still provide the same level of services. That's something maybe we can look at in the next year. We've never really enacted that yet. I know a lot of the things are speculative, so we might want to start those as pilot projects. But in years going forward where we have to cut $5 million, it's someplace where maybe we can start to see where everybody can contribute towards that savings. I get asked a lot, you know, based on those numbers you just saw, you know, what percent are we of that cost? So certificated says, you know, how much are we of the total expenditures classified? And the pie chart was a kind of a good way to look at that. If you take, you know, from right to left, the 48% certificated, 15.5% is classified, 17.9% is your employee benefits. You know, you've got 85% of your costs just about is in people and benefits. And so then you've got books, services, and other operating expenses to look at. And I combined all other because we had kind of a negative offset to get the 1.8% in there. And this is projected. There's no capital outlay in here. We're assuming that we're so tight, we're not going to have money for capital, which probably isn't really going to happen. But just in case you're looking for where its color is, it isn't there. I've heard different things, all kinds of rumors. Well, if we went across the board, that's why they want to know what percent each of these individual segments are. Because, you know, how much are we? Are we going to take 48% of that $5 million cut? Or is it going to be even, and how could that work? You know, there's probably really not one answer on how we can get to that $5 million. But what business services would like to present going forward on a regular monthly basis to the board, you know, where are we to expenses, and start developing site budgets. Because I get questions too, well, how come this school gets their supply money divvied out one way and we don't get to do certain money certain ways? And I think that's a good place in a stakeholders meeting where they can all share how things are done, best practices, So all of our sites can maybe come up with a way that would be more cost-effective or utilize lessons learned. Because every dollar counts. I know $5 million has a lot of zeros behind it. It's a really big number. But if we start adding up all the little dollars, hopefully we'll get bigger dollars towards it. Plus also come to some agreements. Like I was asked, you know, how can we cut costs on office supplies? Well, one way many companies do that is standardize what supplies can be bought, and then they go out and get the best bid on those supplies. So paper, pens, pencils are most common items. But that's only going to work if every second grade classroom agrees to certain level of supplies, you know, certain major types. They still can add on to it, but if everybody can't agree in kindergarten to use the same set of crayons and I have to buy 14 different types, we're not going to get any, you know, economies of scale here. So it'd be little things that we're doing like we did with office supplies. We basically saved 20% and went green. We saved over about 8% really on costs, but we also went green, and that saved us money and moved us forward. Many companies want our business, want to retain our business, so going out to bid would be a good thing on many of our contracts. Also looking, like you did today, at all the contract services to make sure that we're getting the benefit for what we're paying for, and is there a different way to do it? So we're in agreement to do that, but also we want to bring back information. The best way, I think, to deal with the budget crisis is first for all of us to agree on whatever the number is, and then we can all, you know, brainstorm and work together to address that number. But if we're not all educated on what the number is, then there's all kinds of rumors and panics and assumptions someone else is getting more or less than you may be getting. And we really want to focus all that energy on how are we going to save this $5 million, because we really need to start come up with definite decisions by early of the calendar year 2012, if not earlier. So the budget, you know, is pretty much what it is for next year, because we've got our school year in place, our contracts in place, so there's not a lot of savings, but it's a great opportunity to do a lot of planning and work towards a savings. You know, and I think the board brought up if we have turnover in positions, actually evaluating those to see what we could do through attrition as opposed to any type of layoffs or other type of measures. But if there's other information the board would like, it just seemed that the site budget would help make sure everybody understood what each other is doing and actually bring to light best practices that those could be shared with other sites. That's the presentation.
All right, thank you. Do you have any questions? Okay. Ms. Aileen Hernandez. Aileen Miranda Jimenez. Excuse me.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bastin. We had a presentation a few months ago, and maybe it's too late for the upcoming budget, but has any of the cost savings on the special ed presentation that we had, they made some recommendations of potential cost savings, have any of those been factored in? Are they going to be factored in? Are we looking at any of that moving forward?
I can address what's in the budget. We haven't built in any synergies in that area now. I would defer to Ms. Valentine to see if they're working on anything now.
I think that as we have a transition between lock-in and replacement, there are a couple of programmatic changes we made. I don't know that they...
Pull your microphone up, please.
Okay. Another question I have along the lines of special ed. We just got the memo saying that there's a new director for the SELPA. So any potential cost savings working with a new director, looking again, synergy, new programs, do we see any potential there or no? I know we're – go ahead.
Well, I know the SELPA definitely wants to open up communication with West Covina Unified School District. I know the district has given notice we want to leave again, you know, a year and a day notice. And that creates some kind of concern. So if we want to finish that analysis to see if it's any cheaper to be someplace else, beneficial to us, I think we need to go through those options and see what we're doing. Most of the districts within our current SELPA are definitely looking at how we create cost savings. Are there programs that we could develop ourselves and do cheaper? Could we do them in some other way? Could we partner with other districts within the SELPA to do things? Now that the new financial model pretty much lays out, this is your cost, this is your revenue, it's a lot easier to see what things truly do cost. And then we should pinpoint the programs that we use the most, they're most expensive, to see if there are other alternatives. And I don't think that analysis has been done yet, but the SELPA is reaching out to us to say they want to work with us, you know, to continue to use Cortez as their site, would like us to stay in the SELPA. But again, it's driven by all the individual districts and how we utilize the programs and what are we doing to go out for services as opposed to utilize a district within the SELPA.
And then you indicated for the stakeholders meeting, so it sounds like you're going to use a fine-tooth comb to kind of go through restricted dollars to see where savings could potentially be there. Did I hear that correctly?
Right. We want to continue, and again, whatever we bring to the stakeholders meeting, we bring to the board first, and then we try to do more. So if the restricted dollars are where we have the deficit spending, what are the programs? Is there anything we can do about it? It may not be able to because you can't control, you don't know who's in special education, but is there, you know, some synergy maybe with different buses, different services? You know, we're overspending several million dollars just on transportation. So what could we do there? You know, do those more in-depth analysis. With the stakeholders, it touches, you know, special education, but also the general education as well, and what else could they do? And, you know, we all look at the site, and we're here every day. We don't notice what the parents do. And, again, it's because you got a leaky pipe or they, you know, need to understand how we use our cell phones. But, again, it's getting that communication out so everybody understands. And if they have a question, there's no dumb question on a budget. It doesn't matter if it's a penny or it's $1 million. Because if it's important to that individual, we need to resolve that and try to move forward. And there might be something in those dollars that really help us as savings.
I didn't bring it with me, unfortunately, but at the last board meeting, you had broken out for us very, very easy to see. And we saw, if I'm not mistaken, one of our line items that has doubled over the last 4 years. What was that line item?
It's the supplies and services.
The supplies and services. Thank
that's
you.
That's where... that's where we put our placeholder, services and other operation expenses.
I know that we had it here, but you had actually, we could actually visually see how it kept going up.
The trend, right.
So I didn't see in any of the documentation that we were given. I was curious if anybody has given their best thinking about how to reverse the trend and have it start going down, down, down. I didn't see anything here that supported that or has that not been revisited?
You're correct. In putting together the 11-12 budget, we pretty much, you know, gave in and just said it's the current budget because we already have the school year, you know, set, the contracts are set. There are a lot of statistics we gave out. You know, if we shorten the school year, how much would we save? What's the minimum? And so it's going back with all those things again. What is kind of building from the core out? And I think you've had examples in previous years where that was done with the circles. You know, what mm-hmm. is required? We have to have 175 days of school. Okay. Well, how much are we spending in addition to be longer? This. Okay. Well, what value is it to us, and is that what the district wants? Because we have better education, better scores. So we want to afford to be able to do these type of things and build out from what's the minimal required to what we want to have and see how much of that, you know, we can afford. Unfortunately, with our current spending rate, which will take us another year to make any changes, unless you make radical changes, and even $5 million is a lot of money over 2 years, because you see how quickly $300,000 added up over 3 years. Without making any drastic changes, we want to start changing, you know, the direction of that battleship in the bathtub. We're really tight with funding. It's going to be hard to make changes if they're not radical and don't heavily touch the classroom. And I know it's the preference and the passion of this district not to do that. So it is going to be having those hard conversations about why do we do things. I was signing purchase orders today And, you know, it came across, I think it was an item from the stakeholders meeting, made me think about it. It was food for meetings. Now, you know, it's probably appropriate when you have students and parents in the community at a meeting, but how appropriate does the district want to make it to have that for our own staff if we want to change our own policies? And the rec's only $5,000. So it's not significant, and it's over a year, but that's one department, you know, within all the district, and they all have those type of things. So what is the district willing to put aside these little things to help save a job, help save education in the classroom? So those are long conversations, and I know it's a long answer too, but we didn't get those long conversations this year, so there aren't changes to the expenses. But between when we close now in September and January, would be a wonderful opportunity to go through that, you know, before we get into the next year's budget, before you have to make decisions for March 15th notices. And the earlier we start making those savings, every dollar counts. Even this year, if we can't change a lot of things, staffing or the school year, but if we didn't spend $50,000 on food, that's $50,000. So that's $150,000 towards over 3 years, for the $5 million. And that was really a small contribution that nobody's really going to notice. Now, what else can I do? If we automate turning off the lights, can I save another $50,000? Okay, now I'm up to $300,000. You know, pretty soon I'm going to hit $1 million. And it's, instead of saying nothing matters or it's too insignificant, if it's so insignificant, then we're not going to feel the hurt when we give it up. And really encouraging everybody to think whatever it is, and the stakeholders that come to the meeting, we have the parents, the union representation, also representation from cabinet and the principals, to discuss what it is we're spending and why. And again, it's best practices. How do you divvy out supplies better? Should we be using photocopies instead of mimeograph, those type of things that they're using? And I hear they're using them because they have heavy paper stock. Well, photocopies have come a long ways too. We can do that and might be cheaper. Actually purchasing, I challenged purchasing to find a cheaper way with the photocopies, and renting the new machines, leasing the new machines is actually cheaper than the current ones we have. And the companies are more than happy to give us the new ones because they don't want to have to keep maintaining the old ones. So there's many, you know, customary practices that if we just kind of looked outside of our own boxes, our own shells, I think we can find a lot of money to save.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
I got three things. One is we used to do some joint bidding with the city, you know, on different things, where they would piggyback on some of our bids for stuff, and we would them. And I don't know, is this the time to actually look at that with other districts? You know, to, you know, if Covina and West Covina and Roland are all using the same X, you know, is this the time to do some kind of joint bidding arrangement, you know, with other districts in order to drive down costs?
Yeah, it's a great idea that, you know, I don't think we've ever thought of here because, again, based on volume, if you're driving more volume to a business, especially where it's a generic supply like office supplies or something.
Or gas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's lots of different things. You know, so, you know, I would like to see us explore that with other school districts. You know, because now would be the time to really focus on trying to reduce those kind of costs.
That's an excellent idea. And there's definitely big districts for us to partner with.
Yeah, and then two, before we start talking about whacking at cuts and all that kind of stuff, and we got some information on it, and I'd like to see it at the next meeting if possible, need to talk about district of choice. Because I think one of the ways to leave this is by growing. Mm-hmm. And we've had pretty stable enrollment. But like I said, you know, 100 kids is almost $1 million. And, of course, there's expenses with the kids, but especially if you're filling in slots that are open,
right.
You know, I mean, that's, I mean, that's gold. I mean, that's, and then we wouldn't have to do, you know, the kinds of things we're talking about. So I still think, rather than the negative, you know, thing, oh, we have to find cuts, and I'm fine meeting with stakeholders and fine eliminating, you know, things that aren't useful or aren't helpful. I'm fine with that. But I still think we need to look broader at the district of choice, especially because we already allow our kids to leave. And the districts around us are chicken and won't let their kids leave. And so I think we need to, you know, do that and compete because we have plenty of options that I think people would want a part of. And then third is the thing when we talked about core you know, one of the things we did in one of the budget things, too, we've talked about our core missions and the core things that we do and what we want to touch last. And we had information on it, and I would like to know where the board is. I would like to, I don't know if I need to make a motion or not, but I would like to restore the librarians that were reduced in May 2009. You know, to me, that was a core thing. The reason I voted against it then, even though the superintendent recommended it, was that, you know, to me, that was really close to kids, and we weren't at the point where we needed to look at that. And I think media centers play a, and libraries in general play a very important role, especially in elementary school. And you know, I would like to restore those 2 hours to those positions. And I'd like to know where the board is so that it can be included in this budget, so that we can notify the media center people that they need to plan on being here 6 hours instead of four, and we could budget that. Do I need to make a motion to do that, or?
Well, wait just a second. Well, with respect to making changes in this budget as presented, isn't this due to the county by July 1st?
Right, the 30th. It's this mm-hmm. the budget we're submitting, but there's always budget revisions.
That's what
which
I was
going to
get at. Just
so it doesn't that. Limit.
So
them.
this what that's before us tonight is the budget that we want to present to the county as of July. Or before July 1st.
July 1st, right.
So that's well, that. So yeah. The item going forward, if we want to make any changes, has to be something that would be considered. And then, like I said earlier this evening, it was a. This is an ongoing budget, ongoing changes is constantly changing. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can add that amount in pretty easily, though. Whatever the amount was in that memo, just add in plus to that line
plus
item.
Plus $100,000.
Yeah, plus that yeah. to the line item.
It's not that hard to put it in. We have to actually add the people, but this is locked down at the county on the 17th. So we can make that the very first budget adjustment that you want revision. And again, it's not that you won't have funds to spend because you have the whole year's budget. So if you want to fill those, you know, positions or increase those hours and start utilizing dollars, we can do that. This budget doesn't stop you from doing that.
Right, I understand that. But I'd like to know, you know, we've talked about it. Three meetings, I'd like to know where the
well,
board is.
Well, we can also bring it back at the July 26th meeting for then general discussion. I mean, I think that...
We've had general discussion, though. I'd like to bring it back for action.
Specific.
I want action.
You
want to
bring
action.
It back for
well, I'd like to. I'd like to make a motion tonight. We add to this budget here. But, you know, I'm fine doing that right here. But I think we need to have a motion and real action at some point. Because we've talked about it for three meetings, and we've gotten information several times, and we pulled the principals and all that kind of stuff. And I'd like to just come to a conclusion on it one way or another.
Well, one of the concerns that I have, and I've not really, you know, from the memo that we got this last week with respect to the principals, there was a fundamental reason why the principals, you know, chose 2 years ago not to extend. I mean, we were told that they were – that. Overwhelmingly on a principal request not to have to reduce the hours down to four or below 4 hours. And what I want to know is what's changed. And I don't have the means. I have this memo, but just it doesn't. It just gives us that, well, it's going to cost us $100,000 to go forward with it. I'm fully in favor of it. Before I do that, I'd like to know, you know, why did they change their minds? What's different? What's changed between now and then? Or then and now, to want to do this, and you know, it's a sizable amount of money, but for an absolutely you know, very important purpose, and I'd be fully supportive of it, but I would like to have at least that question answered, and before we do it. So if it's all right with the board, I just assume let this, unless we have other discussions, other matters, other concerns, present the budget or approve the budget as presented. And then move towards the July meeting for making the appropriate budget changes with an approval of 4 hours or 6 hours per day for library assistance.
So maybe we'll have more information on the security officer as well. That was part of the discussion. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to, that somebody else is in or out or what we want to do and build that in. Again, the $300,000 we save with a period. That's what's in flux from what you directed me from last meeting.
Well, I want it for an action item on the agenda.
Yeah. For the next board meeting,
yeah, if
yes.
I can't do it now, I want it for the next one. Sure. For an action item, though, that not just more discussion.
Maybe their peak times have changed.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you that. I want to know. I want more information on it. But yeah, it can be on for approval. But I think that's a very simple question. The answer, we just didn't have it answered right now. Okay. Anything else on the board or the budget approval or the adoption of the budget for 2011-12? Anything else? Kenny? No. All right. Is there a motion for this, please?
I'll second it.
Been moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Kemi Polis, to adopt the 2011-12 budget as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Any other discussion, board members?
I wanted to thank Ms. Valentine for getting us the dates for the open houses and the back-to-school nights. Thank you. I'm so excited. I just had one quick question. I was just curious as to why some of them were on Monday nights. We don't traditionally do that, right? Some of the open houses are on Monday nights, and some of the back-to-school nights are on Monday nights, which is fine. I just
did you have any?
Okay. Thank you very much, and please thank the principals. We really appreciate that.
Anything else?
That is it.
I just have one thing real quick, and that was, at the end of last year when we had a few policies that hadn't been updated for a while, we had received, an updated schedule, and we were supposedly going to talk about it during the summer, start going through the process of some of these.
Oh, yes.
And making sure we reviewed them and that we were following them, et cetera, et cetera. Are we going to do that?
Yeah,
or?
Coming.
Okay, great. Don't put 8:30 down on those. When you,
I had one other, sorry.
Go ahead.
Last year in our board packets at this time, it may have even been at the time of last board meeting, we got a report as to where the seniors, where they were going to college, plans, and we didn't get any of that this year. And that was a great packet last year. So if we can duplicate that.
It was in their newspaper that we got in our packet.
We got more detailed information.
Pardon me?
Coronado wasn't in there.
He said Coronado wasn't in there.
Yeah, it's West Covina High School's paper. So.
I saw it in the paper, but last year they gave us even more detailed information. So if, thank you, we can duplicate what we did last year.
Go ahead, Ms. Shoemaker.
I don't know if a legal opinion is necessary, but I understand that when a graduating class is accepted at a graduation, the person who is supposed to accept the class is supposed to be certificated. And I was surprised that we didn't have a Dr. Garcia at the high school graduations. And so a certificated person did not accept the graduating class. And so I was just wondering if there's any ramifications for that.
No, actually, most districts have the board member do.
Okay. It's been done in this district before with board members, too.
Well, I understand it's been done in the district, but I would just.
I don't think there's any particular requirement.
Steve,
I have a board policy that I'm not aware of that says that.
You did a good job, Steve. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, like I thoroughly.
Okay.
Most districts actually have the board members, too.
All right.
That's fine. I just. Like I said, I had seen something that said it had to be a certificated member of staff because you're actually stating that the graduates met the legal requirements. And so I wasn't sure if this ceremonial part of that included that or if you're somehow able to circumvent it by something you supply to the state signed by somebody. So.
All right. With that... we're right in the midst of our extended school year summer school program that ends July 8th, and on July 26th is our next Board of Education meeting, and it is 9:55, and we are adjourned.